Welcome to another deep dive. This time we're exploring a sibilant intake of breath.
Oh, interesting title.
It is. And it's an interesting blog, too. It's written by Milan Elnikic.
Okay.
He's a climate change activist, a science communicator, and he's a photographer.
Wow, quite the combination.
Right. Yeah. And his blog really is a mix of all those things.
So what are we looking at specifically today?
Well, we've got a bunch of his posts and comments, actually.
Okay.
They span 2023 and 2024. So we're going to try to pull out some
highlights.
Yeah, exactly.
Also good.
I think what's so interesting about this collection is that it touches on science and politics and psychology and even like personal reflection.
Yeah, it really does seem like there's a lot to unpack.
Definitely.
I'm excited to dive in.
Okay, well, one thing that kind of jumped out at me when I was first reading through these posts was Milan had shared a quote from Carl Sagan's The Demon-Haunted World.
Oh, a classic.
I know, right? This was in a post from January 2024, and he's highlighting how Sagan emphasizes acknowledging human fallibility in science.
Okay.
As, like, crucial to avoid making serious errors.
Right.
But I feel like this applies to way more than just science.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in today's world, we're bombarded with information constantly, right? Like from the news, social media, everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
It's so easy to just get swept up in all of it and let our emotions or even just like pre-existing beliefs kind of dictate how we interpret things.
For sure.
So this point that Sagan's making about recognizing our own fallibility, it's almost like a shield, you know, to protect against falling into those mental traps.
Totally, yeah.
It's all about that critical thinking.
It really makes you wonder, like, how often do we just accept information blindly, especially when it, like, aligns with our beliefs already?
All the time, I'd say.
Yeah, like, for instance, Monon has some pretty strong opinions on climate change.
Right.
Which we'll talk about a little bit later. But this whole self-skepticism thing makes me kind of stop and think. Like, am I really being objective when I'm reading about climate change?
Yeah.
Or am I letting my own anxieties and hopes, like, cloud my judgment?
It's a question we should all ask ourselves, I think, especially with those like really politically charged topics.
For sure.
And Milan's blog definitely has a lot of those.
Yep.
Like, for example, there's this post from 2024 called Canada's Origin in Fraud, where he dives into the history of Canadian treaties with Indigenous nations. Yeah. And he references this book by Peter H. Russell called Sovereignty, The Biography of a Claim.
Okay.
And Russell argues that these treaties were basically like based on trickery and fraud, you know, just to gain access to resources.
Okay, so this challenges like a lot of what we're taught about Canadian history.
It does.
But like, weren't those treaties signed willingly
by
the Indigenous leaders at the time?
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So Russell argues, and Milan seems to agree, that the Indigenous understanding of those treaties was very different from, like, the colonial interpretation.
Oh.
So the Indigenous nations thought they were entering into agreements, you know, for shared land use and resources.
I see.
But the colonial authorities saw it as a surrender of sovereignty and ownership.
Wow. Yeah, that's a huge difference.
It is. And that difference combined with just, like, all the power imbalances at play.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, the idea of fraud kind of comes in.
Okay, and this wasn't just a historical event with no lasting impact either.
Right, like it continues to affect things today.
Yeah, in another comment, Milan actually quotes Russell again.
Okay.
This time it's from Canada's Odyssey, a country based on incomplete conquests.
Okay.
And it talks about how after the War of 1812, Indigenous nations were treated as subjects.
Wow.
And then there were policies like the Gradual Civilization Act of 1857, which further marginalized them.
Exactly. And that act was all about trying to assimilate Indigenous peoples into like European Canadian society, often through really coercive means.
It's a really complicated and kind of a dark chapter in Canadian history.
It is.
It raises some tough questions about reconciliation and the impact of these injustices that are still felt today.
For sure.
I mean, it really makes you question like the foundations of Canada's sovereignty and its relationship with Indigenous communities.
Absolutely. And I think it highlights how important it is to understand all the complexities of history.
For sure.
And how those past actions continue to shape our present.
Okay. So we've talked about self-skepticism and how it applies to like evaluating information.
Right.
And we've also touched upon a very controversial aspect of Canadian history.
Uh-huh.
Now, I want to shift gears a little bit
and
talk about a fascinating concept that Milan brings up, the psychology of belief.
Oh, interesting. Lead the way.
So in this post from March 2024, Milan quotes Daniel Kahneman's book, Thinking Fast and Slow.
Okay.
And he specifically talks about the affect heuristic.
The affect heuristic. Huh? Okay.
Basically, it means we tend to let our likes and dislikes color our beliefs about the world.
Okay.
Rather than like relying on objective evidence.
So like our gut feelings kind of take over.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And we just end up believing what feels good or what feels comfortable, even if it contradicts the facts.
Right.
It's a powerful cognitive bias. It affects all of us.
Have you ever caught yourself like dismissing information just because it didn't align with your own preferences?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
I remember when I first learned about like the potential benefits of nuclear power as a clean energy source. And I just instinctively like recoiled from it.
Really?
Yeah. Because I always associated it with disaster and danger, you know?
I can see that.
And it took a conscious effort to like push past that initial emotional response.
Yeah.
And actually look at the evidence.
That's exactly the challenge though, right?
Yeah.
This affect heuristic is so strong when it comes to these really emotionally charged issues.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like climate change or debates about fossil fuels.
For sure.
Milan writes about these topics all the time.
She does.
And I'm kind of curious to see how this heuristic might play out in his arguments.
Well, let's dive into that next, because Milan's views on climate change are pretty passionate.
Okay.
And it seems like his frustration is growing over time.
You can definitely feel that passion.
Right. And it pops up in like unexpected places.
Oh, like where?
Well, like in this post from October 2024.
Okay.
He's talking about some upcoming trips. One's a camping trip focused on trail repair near Timagami.
Okay.
And the other one's to Montreal for photography.
Sounds fun.
Right. But like at first glance, it just seems like a travelogue.
Yeah, I see that.
But there's this underlying connection to his values, you know.
I think I see where you're going with this.
Like the trail repair, that speaks to his environmentalism.
Makes sense.
Right. That hands-on conservation.
Yeah.
And then the photography, well, that's his artistic side.
Right.
It's like his way of documenting the world, maybe even highlighting the beauty that's at stake.
If we don't address climate change.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a good reminder that those personal actions, even the small ones,
yeah,
can reflect like deeply held beliefs.
Absolutely.
But Milan doesn't hold back when it comes to like expressing his frustration about the lack of action on climate change on a larger scale.
No, he definitely doesn't.
In this post from July 2024, he seems particularly disillusioned with the global response.
Or lack thereof, you could say.
Yeah, and what's really striking is that he calls out specific actions and events.
Oh, interesting.
It's not just like a vague feeling of disappointment. He's giving concrete examples of like hypocrisy and inaction.
Give me an example.
Okay, so he points to the irony of countries like Canada, right?
Okay.
Scrambling to expand fossil fuel production.
Right.
But at the same time, they're experiencing the effects of climate change firsthand.
It's like we're stuck in this loop.
Totally, yeah.
Addicted to the very thing that's harming us.
It's a good way to put it.
And it's not just governments that he's criticizing.
No, he calls out climate change activists, too.
Really? What for?
Well, he thinks they prioritize their own social and economic agendas.
Okay.
Over the urgent need to just abolish fossil fuels completely.
It's complicated.
It really is.
Like a web of different interests and motivations, so, all hindering actual progress.
It's pretty sobering.
Yeah.
It feels like we're at this, like, crossroads
uh-huh.
where the urgency of the climate crisis is clashing with these systems that are really entrenched.
Right.
And all these individual biases, too.
It's a lot.
He actually digs into this a bit more in an October 2024 post.
Okay.
Where he's talking about global fertility rates.
Interesting.
And their connection to the climate crisis.
Okay.
He mentions this article from Foreign Affairs.
Okay.
It's called The Age of Depopulation, Surviving a World Gone Gray.
Okay, what's that about?
What challenges the assumption that overpopulation is like the main driver of environmental problems. Instead, it suggests that women are choosing to have fewer children.
Okay.
And that empowering women with more control over their reproductive choices could actually be key to achieving global sustainability.
That's a really interesting perspective.
I thought so too.
It adds some nuance to, you know, the whole overpopulation debate.
Okay.
I feel like Milan's doing that a lot in his blog, like pushing back against these simplistic narratives.
He is.
It makes you think.
It does, and it brings us back to that idea of self-skepticism again.
Right. Always challenging those assumptions.
Yeah, and bias.
It's so easy to just get caught up in these echo chambers, you know,
I know,
where we're only consuming information that confirms what we already believe.
Totally.
I think Milan's blog is a good reminder to break out of that.
I think so, too.
Like, he's always encouraging his readers to consider different perspectives.
For sure.
And to think critically, even if it means questioning your own beliefs.
Exactly.
Which can be hard.
It can be.
But it's important.
He's definitely not afraid to call out hypocrisy.
No, he's not.
Even within, like, the environmental movement itself.
Oh, interesting.
There's a comment on this October post about fertility rates.
Okay.
Where he criticizes political leaders who, you know, restrict bike lanes and limit the development of new wind and solar facilities.
Right.
But then they're out there talking about climate action all the time.
It's like they're not actually walking the walk.
Exactly. It's all talk.
Yeah. He's holding them accountable.
He is.
Exposing that gap between words and actions.
Totally.
It's a good reminder that we can't be complacent.
Especially not the people in charge.
Right. They need to set the example.
But this frustration with the lack of progress on climate change, that's not the only personal thing that Milan shares.
Oh, right. He gets pretty personal sometimes.
Yeah, like in a September 2024 post.
Okay.
He talks about how hunger affects his productivity.
Oh, wow.
He describes this day where he skipped meals.
To get more work done.
Yeah, to maximize his time. But then his work actually suffered.
That makes sense. It's hard to focus when you're hungry.
Right. And it just makes him seem more human, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Like even the most dedicated activists, they have basic needs too.
We all do.
And it's relatable.
It is.
We've all had those days where we push ourselves too hard.
Totally.
And end up feeling drained.
And unproductive.
Exactly.
I think we've all been there.
This actually reminds me of another personal reflection that really stood out to me.
Oh, yeah. Which one?
It was this September 2024 post about his, quote, policy on sincere invitations.
Oh, yeah. The say what you mean and mean what you say thing.
It's exactly.
I remember that one.
He basically states that when he invites someone to something, he means it.
Like he expects them to actually follow through.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty bold.
I know, right? It's like such a departure from these social norms.
It is. It's a call for authenticity and transparency, like actually being real with each other.
In a world where politeness often masks true intentions.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a really thought-provoking idea.
It is. It makes you think about all those times we say things we don't mean.
Or how we interpret things based on social expectations.
Yeah, and this desire for clarity, it goes beyond just personal stuff, too.
I see.
Like, we see it in his critiques of politicians.
Yeah.
His frustration with the lack of action on climate change.
Like a theme.
It is. It runs through his whole approach to life, you know?
His engagement with the world.
Exactly.
So we've seen his frustration with climate change, his vulnerability, his call for sincerity.
That's a lot.
But there's another layer to his story that I think we need to explore.
Oh, okay. What's that?
His anxiety about the future.
Oh.
Specifically in the context of the 2024 U.S. presidential election.
Yeah, that was a big one.
This post from November 2024.
Okay.
He's really concerned about the potential consequences if Trump wins.
Right.
He paints this picture of like a second Trump term. Purging the civil service, mass deportations, the government being weaponized against its enemies.
Scary stuff.
It is. And he sees it as a real threat to American democracy.
That's a big deal.
He actually connects this to a broader trend that he sees happening in the democratic world.
Oh, interesting. What's that?
So he thinks that as the climate crisis gets worse and societal systems start to break down, people are drawn to these like ideological extremists.
Oh, I see.
Who offer these simple solutions and scapegoats for these complex problems.
It's a dangerous pattern.
It is. He describes it as a vicious cycle.
Oh, wow.
The fossil fuel addiction intensifies the climate crisis.
Right.
Leading to societal breakdown, which then fuels political extremism.
And that hinders any efforts to fix the root causes.
Exactly. It's pretty chilling.
Yeah, it makes you wonder where we're headed.
It does. But in the midst of all this doom and gloom, Milan also talks about his own sense of well-being.
Oh.
And he attributes it to the stability he's found in his life, like secure housing, employment.
That's really important.
I think so, too.
Like, even when faced with these global crises and personal anxieties, you can still find a sense of inner peace.
And purpose.
Right. It's inspiring in a way.
It is. But it also brings up this question, like, how do we cultivate that resilience?
That's the big question, isn't it?
How do we find that stability amidst all the chaos?
Something to think about.
Yeah. It's a lot to process.
It is. But it's like it's real life, you know?
Right, full of contradictions.
Exactly.
Like these huge global crises happening at the same time as personal victories.
And political turmoil alongside individual resilience.
It's a strange time to be alive.
I think Milan captures that really well.
He does. He doesn't shy away from the messy parts.
Not at all. And I think that's what makes his blog so interesting.
Right. He's not giving us these easy answers.
We're telling us exactly what to think.
Yeah, he's making us think for ourselves.
He's inviting us to consider all the angles.
And to, like, engage with the nuances.
Which is so important.
It is. And he's always connecting those big ideas back to his own life.
Right. Like that post about sincere invitations.
Yeah, that one really got me thinking.
About how we communicate with each other.
And how much we rely on social scripts.
It's almost like a metaphor for the bigger issues, you know?
I see.
Like whether it's climate change or political polarization or social justice.
There's this underlying need for honesty.
Yeah, for transparency, for realness.
But how do we make that happen on a larger scale?
That's the million-dollar question.
Like, how do we translate that desire for sincerity into, like, meaningful action?
Well, Milan would probably say it starts with self-awareness.
Okay.
Like, recognizing our own biases, our limitations.
And our role in the systems that cause these problems.
Exactly. We all have a part to play.
And even those small actions can make a difference.
Right. Like choosing to bike instead of driving.
Or speaking up against injustice.
Or just having those tough conversations with people who disagree with us.
It's about finding those moments where we can actually make a change.
Individually and collectively.
I think Milan's blog, even with all its like bleak moments,
yeah. It
still offers the glimmer of hope.
It does. It reminds us that we're not powerless.
We can choose to be part of the solution.
Even in the face of uncertainty.
Exactly.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Milan's world,
yeah.
I'm left feeling this sense of urgency, but also possibility.
I feel it too.
His blog is a call to action.
It is. It's a reminder to think critically, to challenge what we believe.
To engage with the world around us honestly and hopefully.
And on that note, I think it's time to let our listener ponder all of this.
Yeah, let them have their own deep dive.
What resonated with you most strongly? What insights will you carry forward? And most importantly, what actions will you take, however small, to shape a better future? That's the real deep dive, the one that happens within each of us.